Okay, my collaborators were Cheryl Honk and also David Beavers. So this is, we did a project where we wanted to look at the feasibility of using a standardized patient to train students in tobacco cessation. Dr. Green, I hope you're listening because that was kind of a follow-up from the last session, wasn't it? Are you? Yeah, that's true, you would be. This paper is published in JCE just recently, Journal of Chiropractic Education. So if you'd like some more information, it is there. Although I think all the copies are gone, it must have been so riveting. So just a little background information. There's 400,000 deaths a year in the U.S. from smoking tobacco. That's 18% of all deaths. And just a little to impress upon the severity of that, if you take all the combined deaths from HIV, alcohol and drug, MVAs, suicide, homicide, and fires, they still will not be the impact that smoking has on deaths. It is the leading preventable cause of death. And in 2010, 19.3% of Americans, adults, smoked, and that's 18 and over. So in 2008, clinical practice guidelines from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recommends that clinicians ask patients and document the use of tobacco. So personalized physician advice, merely giving some advice to a patient compared to no advice at all, encourages patients to take up tobacco cessation or to stop smoking. Even a brief counseling of 3 minutes or less is effective in achieving long-term abstinence compared to no advice at all. Now you up that to 10 minutes or greater for this counseling session, and it's nearly twice the abstinence rates compared to brief counseling to that 3 minutes or less. So how would you do counseling training at the university level, at the chiropractic schools? They encourage 5A's construct for the behavioral change. It's recommended by the U.S. Preventive Task Force. So those 5A's include you ask your patient if they smoke, you advise them to quit, you assess their willingness to quit, you assist them in quitting, and then you arrange follow-up. So that's a pretty basic construct, the 5A's, that is being recommended by the U.S. Preventive Task Force. Also, there's an experiential approach that is being recommended where you use standardized patients, and there were 3 authors who commented on that. So what's been done? CAM practitioners are seen as being supportive of prevention. CAM providers are more likely than mainstream physicians to record patients' tobacco use, according to these researchers. NIH funded a feasibility study of 20 chiropractic clinics, and that was 210 patients, and they found that just basic counseling interventions are feasible in chiropractic practices. So that takes us to our current research and the research that my collaborators and I did. So the purpose of our study was, it was a descriptive study, and it was assessing the feasibility of incorporating an active learning activity based on tobacco cessation counseling using standardized patients and those 5A's that I just talked about earlier. So we took 72 students from the Community Health and Wellness Program class. Now that's a Tri-6 class. Those are preclinical students still, and that's the end of the second year of the chiropractic program. So they're just getting ready in the next try to go into student clinics, so they'll be working with patients then. But we took them, these preclinical students, and used them in this study here. So the intervention had 2 parts. The first part was a 2-hour lecture, so there was a 2 hours total lecture. During this lecture, the students were taught what the 5A's were, ways to use those 5A's. They also were taught this, that patients often present in one of 6 stages of this transthyretic model. So whether the patient is in the pre-contemplation stage where they have no desire or willingness to quit at all, or the contemplation stage where they're considering it within the next 6 months or so, and then the preparation stage, okay, they're thinking about it, maybe next month I'll start quitting, and then the action phase where they have some concrete planned, and then the maintenance stage where they did quit smoking and they've been smoke-free for about 6 months, and then termination, they no longer have any desire at all to smoke. So the students were taught that these are the stages that these patients could present in, or your patients could present in, and also taught those 5 A's. Students also had access to smoking cessation brochures, so they were taught how to use some of these brochures. So that's all the lecture aspect of this, of the activity. That was part one. So they got a lot of information fed to them at this point. Now, part two was that experiential session, so that active learning took place. We took all 72 students and we brought them to our assessment center where they were going to encounter standardized patients. So we had two sets of four standardized patients, and they were presenting in some level of this, some stage of tobacco cessation. Students did not know what stage they were going to encounter, what their patient was going to present with. They merely know going into encounters in the assessment center, they know the age of the patient, they know the name of the patient. Sometimes they know the age if it's important to the case. Otherwise, it can be whatever the patient is presenting at, whatever their actual age is. So that's about all they know. And they know that this is a patient who has been coming to a chiropractor and now it's time, you need to step it up and let's talk to them about smoking. Ask them if they're a smoker, advise them to quit and all those 5A kind of things. So they knew going in they could encounter these patients in some stage and that they were going to go into an examination room, sit down with them and give them some advice. An important aspect is the patient wasn't just merely sitting there not interacting with the student. As you know, with standardized patients, they learn scripts. They know how to respond when the student actually asks them things so that everybody feels like it's a real encounter. Also, a component that I had the patients do was if the student is talking in a way that you don't understand, they're using medical terminology, not as easy to do in this kind of situation, but using terminology you don't understand, don't hesitate to challenge them and ask them to explain themselves. So there's an interaction from everyone, whether it's the patient or the student. So we looked at a couple outcomes. First of our outcomes is after the student leaves the room, the standardized patient then gets up and fills out a quick checklist. And these are some of the questions. I won't read them to you. You can read those. The last column there is the way the whether or not the student did it. So these are the yeses. 99% asked them if they smoke. 99% appear non-judgmental, et cetera, et cetera. Another measurement outcome was that we had the students discuss whether they were, or answer whether they were satisfied or not with this activity. And this was more of the Likert scale, so either not at all satisfied or very satisfied. So the column on the right, again, is how they were satisfied with the activity. So 90% said they believed that this was more valuable than just a lecture alone. And as you can see, you can read those again. They would like more activity. 67% of that said that. 18% said that they should have more time to do this activity. So these were overall very positive, we felt. So to summarize some of that stuff, 94% of the students completed the intervention. The median time was just 2.5 minutes. So we gave them 10 minutes total. That was between going in, introducing yourself, sanitizing your hands, whatever it might be, all the way to the patient performing the checklist or completing the checklist. So the average time the student spent in the counseling was 2.5 minutes. 90% of the students addressed four of the basic 5A's. The one that got the lowest was they failed to arrange a follow-up visit. Now, only 79% did. So we're a minimal number did not arrange to have a follow-up visit. Some of that could have been because of the simulation itself. The student knew they were not going to see the patient come back. So maybe that was it. Or, you know, obviously maybe it's something that we need to do better teaching than really emphasizing that follow-up visit. Let's look at some of the comments. Some of that other stuff I've already repeated in a previous slide, but some of the written comments, we had a space for the students to fill out. The positive comments, well organized. They were happy to have that checklist, so they liked knowing that they had to use those fives and what those five A's were, the asking of the patient, the assessing, the advice, and that kind of things. Some of the suggestions that they made were that they needed more preparation, opportunity to watch a video encounter. I encourage any time you do standardized patient encounters, especially for the preclinical student, the earliest students, give them a perfect video to look at. Take one of the clinicians and let them go in and handle the standardized patient and really show how they expect this activity to go on. The students appreciate it, and it's a good way for us to realize, wow, you know, this, we're asking the kids or the students to do something that's a little more difficult than we anticipated. And in conclusion, we felt that this was a feasible way to incorporate the traditional lecture format. Further research is needed. Dr. Hawk and Dr. Evans did an article back in, I think, 2005 that showed that only 40% of students in, there's Dr. Evans now, he can confirm this, that only 40% of the students were actually taking this and using it in clinic then in the I-8 chiropractic clinics looked at, and 18% actually felt comfortable enough to give some material to the patient. So I think it is something we need to look at. Okay, we're training them in this simulated environment. Is that crossing over and becoming effective then in the clinical environment? And we'll only know that by a longitudinal study in the future. Thank you very much. Oh, and the references.